basin in the old bayou. Find your favorite fishing pole. Find out where's the next honey hole. Only on the Top Rod Fishing Show.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. I'm Tony Landry, along with Ricky Watkins.
Morning, Tony.
And welcome. Good morning, Rick, and welcome to Kane Radio, FM BAM 107.5 and AM 1240's Fishing and Hunting Show. And as always, the purpose of this show is to keep our listeners updated with the fishing and the hunting in the area, along with Louisiana and stories around the USA and the world. And, Rick, we wouldn't be here, as we always say, if it wouldn't be for these fine people.
You're right, Tony. Good morning to everyone. Thanks to Alamo Hydraulics, Watkins Floor Covering, Doors Heating and Cooling, Coca-Cola, Quarter Tavern, and Clico.
And Clico, our new sponsor, we'll welcome them to the family on the Fishing and Hunting Show. If you'd like to give us a call, the number here is 367-1240. You can also listen to us online at www.kane1240.com. Anywhere in the world, and you can now listen to Kane on the FM band at 107.5. And if you have an Alexa, just say, Alexa, play Kane 1240. You may also listen to Kane on any accessible internet device. We're live here at the studios at 107 West Main Street here in downtown New Iberia, right next to Victor's Cafeteria, which is open. And Rick, what's going on with the freshwater and the saltwater fishing?
Tony, right now, you just pulled it up on the basin, so the basin's going to be kind of be out for now. It's 17, over 17 and a half. Yep, 17.62. And it's actually kind of flatlining. Now, we had a hard fight, and we'll talk about that in a little while. I seen a good-sized skillet of sockeye Wednesday night. Some guys went out, Mr. Dusty and his friend Steven, and I was talking to him at the landing, and they did very well on sockeye. Of course, they wouldn't give up the spot, but it's good to see. They called me over and said, man, come see. I'm going to show you some sockeye. And they had a nice little catch, you know. The lake, Tony, last week with all the rain, it was high, windy, muddy. And now this week it was windy, low, and still muddy. You know, but we had a good turnout. Had 28 boats. And like I said, we'll talk about that. But anyway, and as far as for saltwater, Tony, I hadn't really heard you know, with the wind and everything, I haven't heard too much about salt water.
Well, hopefully with some of the south winds, we'll drive some of that salt water salinity into the water and, you know, time
for
some.
We got a big front coming in, I think, tonight.
Yeah, we're looking at some rain later on this evening, I guess about 8 to 10 o'clock tonight, maybe later on in the early morning.
But lately the weather's just been, it's been windy, man. We've been catching heck at the lake, you know, it's you got 2 and 3 footers, and that's rough on the lake.
Yeah, you always thought that March comes in like a lion goes out, you know, but April showers, guess, you know, brings the May flowers. So
it's been rough, man.
We'll see how that's going to play. You know, with the Easter holidays, that was a time to get your youngsters out fishing, you know.
That's right.
Hopefully some of these kids took advantage of that, parents, you know, to stir the activity. Of course, kids under 16, you don't need a license. You can go out fishing, you know, and enjoy yourself. And, you know, with the afternoon temperatures in the 80s and the constant southerly winds anywhere from 10 to 15 miles an hour through yesterday, the marshes should be filling with cleaner water.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping, Rick, you know.
I wonder if a few kids went to Devil's Pond over the little break, Tony. I'm sure they did.
Hopefully they did. And with the warmer waters, you know, Rick, with the southeast winds, the brown shrimp should be moving around in the estuaries in greater numbers. So that's just around the corner. And the talk of the coast these days is a solid redfish catches. So top water lures providing the heart-stopping action. So anyway, spinner baits, weightless jerkworms, sinkos, other soft plastics work, and artificial baits. So if not, try the shrimp and live minnow under the cork. So see how that – you know, rising waters in the marshes pushing the redfish – close, you know, so we'll see how that all turns out. And like you said, in the freshwater, the sockeye run continues throughout the state.
Yeah.
And these guys you saw out at Marshfield Landing.
Yes, sir.
They wanted to show you that. So,
they had some nice sockeye, Tony. Sure did.
They say that shiners work under the corks in a variety of jigs. So, of course, the best tube colors, you know, the black chartreuse, the blue chartreuse, the brown orange, you know, like you say.
I want to say the black and chartreuse is what Dusty had told me that they'd caught a few of them on.
Anyway, also they say, you know, the ponds are also also brimming with fish, you know. If you got a big pond you can fish at, you know, under yours truly, you have an opportunity in that.
Yeah, I hadn't went, Tony, in a couple of weeks, but last time we went, we did pretty good. We had 18, and we had one over 5 pounds, and actually we put that back. But you know, fishing a pond, you got to regulate it. Everybody thinks because you got a pond, they're all your pets. But you have to, if you want a good pond, Tony, you have to, like I said, you got to cull some of them out. You know, you can't have too many small fish, and you can't have too many big fish, you know. But usually your big fish are your better, you know, your big fish are your better genes, and that you want to keep those in there.
Well, they say if you know someone with a decent-sized pond, this is your go-to spot. You know, get some good night crawlers, number 8 long shag hooks, and a couple of corks and a light-action rod, and let the kids have a ball, you know, with catching bluegill.
Yeah.
Your bass and sockeye are eating these worms, too. Water in ponds generally heats faster than the big lakes. Yeah. You know, so the bayous and rivers, so several folks have mentioned how the sunfishes have moved to the banks during the past week. So,
now, let's see, Tony. April, May, about the middle of next month. What is it? Is it Memorial Day?
The end of the month. Memorial Day begins the CCA tournament, too.
Right, and that's usually when I start brim fishing. And that I put my mark on the calendar, you know, Memorial Day. And we usually start doing pretty good in the lake. And won't be long. They'll be kicking in.
Yeah, it should be. You're right, Ricky.
It's starting to warm up. I can tell you. It was out there, even though it was windy Wednesday. It was warm.
Yeah, and the weather's supposed to get in the low 80s, mid 80s later on. Yeah. We could have some rain, maybe from 8 o'clock to 2 a.m. Yeah. Something like that.
And then next month, you know, as the water warms up, that's when your brim, you know, your bass and sockeye are done spawning. And then your brim come in and they spawn.
Yeah, and then one thing I'm kind of worried about, too, you see how high the water is right now.
Yeah.
We haven't had the snow melt yet up north. You know, that water still got to move on down through the rivers, Ohio, the Missouri, the Mississippi, and Arkansas rivers.
Yeah.
And we're going to see how that's all going to play out, too.
It's going to get high, Tony, I tell you, you know, because like you and I both know, the Mississippi drains 85% of the United States.
Oh, yeah.
And, all of your major tributaries flow into the Mississippi. So, it's going to – I imagine in Morgan City, they probably already have the steel walls, you know, in place because, like you were saying the other day, the calumet is high.
And, look, I was in New Orleans Tuesday, Wednesday, and in the meantime, you ought to see the Mississippi River flow. Those big paddle wheelers, you know, to take people out, you know, on the river. It was hard for them to negotiate to turn an English turn. Man, that current was pushing that boat with the paddle wheel, and that current had to be 5 to 8 miles an hour.
The Baton Rouge a couple of weeks ago, and on the big bridge. I mean, I guess that's the buoy markers they tie up to.
Yeah.
Man, those babies they had some current coming around.
Oh, I hear you.
Like you said, the water is high and it's going to get higher, you know.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, just a little tidbit news here. Citing family matters, Tyler Carrier, the Bassmaster Elite Series Pro from Youngsville, announced he's leaving the series for the rest of the year. And he stated right now, I just need to be there for my family more than anything. I've tried to make it work for the past few events. I just hadn't worked. The man was in his fifth year in the Elite Series, too, so he had to pull out. Sorry to hear that, you know, in that regard. So, and, Rick, I guess the big news now, Wednesday night, you know, every other Wednesday night we have the hog fights that take place out at different variations. But I guess for the Wednesday night, y'all were out at Marshfield again?
Yes, sir, and we'll probably be, I'm not sure, but we probably will fish it again at Marshfield because of the high water.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
you know, the marsh is probably, I'm sorry, Tony, the marsh is probably high right now. So if I had to guess, we'll probably be back in 2 weeks over there.
All right. Well, the entry fee, of course, is $60 per boat. The entry fee must be paid before 5 p.m., the site of the day of the tournament. And after Wednesday, the hog fight tournaments are set to schedule every Wednesday evening, every 2 weeks until the final Wednesday night hog fight. Classic is set for September 12th. So if you've missed it these past two Wednesdays, 2 weeks from this past Wednesday, they'll be out there again to fish.
That's right.
And you must fish in 6 of the 12 tournaments, I should say, and eligible to win the Wednesday night hog fights classic. Any team who plunked down an entry fee can win a hog fight or a hog fight of the year award, so angler of the year.
Yes.
And with that, Rick, I think you've got what took place this past Wednesday, the results.
Yeah, Tony, we had a good little crowd. The weather, it was real, real windy, and it was good to see all the guys out there. We had 28 boats that fished. And third place was Mr. Randall Savoy and Mr. Romero. They had 3 fish for 5.65, and that was good for $252. And then we had a father and son team. In fact, I spoke to them. They was parked right by me. We was cutting up and joking before the tournament. It was Mr. Jerry Gondron, and I think his son's name is Nathan Gondron. They had three fish for 6.17, and that was good for $378, Tony. And then also talked to, this is another friend of mine that came out first, Mr. Brandon Sellers and Mr. Blaine Miller. They had one fish for 6.64.
Hello.
Yeah. So that was good for $630.
Make his trip worthwhile.
And they also had big bass. That's another 140. You know,
so they did all right.
Well, Brandon tried to tell me to go, and I said no. I was in my small boat, and it was rough, Tony. I said no, I'm not making that. You know, I'm not going over there. He said, well, I figured you was coming, you know, with us over there. I said no, but anyway, like I said, it was a good tournament, Tony. We had 28 boats and had a good turnout, you know. And like I said, it was rough, man. It was windy. We had some 3-footers, and hopefully the weather lay down a little bit, you know, and some of that wind stopped blowing, and then maybe the rain will let up. So,
what was working, Rick, for the majority of y'all that particular afternoon or
spinner
evening?
Spinner baits. That's about all you could throw, Tony. I mean, it was windy. And then you had to kind of guide your bait, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I hear
when you.
When
you throw it, it's like you got to adjust it, kind of like playing golf or shooting ski. You know?
Yeah, playing with the wind.
Yeah. It was real windy. And but majority of them was caught on spinner bait. And there's a few canals, Tony, that you could find in the lake, but when the wind's blowing 30 miles an hour, you're not going to, can't get out of the wind.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. You're right.
No, it was tough. I'm not going to lie. We caught some small fish, but, you know, nothing to weigh. They got to be at least 12 inches to weigh them.
That's right.
I had one I could almost make it touch. I said, no, I'm not, you know, just throw the fish back. But anyway.
But didn't they have something new this year with the hog fights? Is that five bass limit? Or did something in that regard?
That's going to be a softball tournament.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I stand corrected.
That's all right.
And I'm looking at an article here about the new, it was a big bass classic for years, but it's
the
Jackie Savoie Big Bass Classic is set for April 17th, which is today's the 9th. So in 8 days, it's next Saturday. We'll have a little bit more of that next Friday show.
Yes.
And this year's Jackie Savoie Memorial Big Bass Classic, as I mentioned, on the 17th of April, Saturday. And since it was founded by Elvis Top Rod Jominette, the BBC has held before mid-March, typically in late February, but this year's classic will be held at Marshall Landing, where it's usually held.
Yeah.
This year's format will be different, as you mentioned to me just a moment ago, than any of the previous year's tournaments. After last year, the BBC members tied another one for size a few months later with a tweak format, adding a 5-bass limit to their limit division. So otherwise, you still get the 250, 150, 100 payout each hour.
Well, I think they went up a little bit, Tony, but it's kind of like a side pot. Yeah.
Anyway, the five fish stringer payout based on the boat field will be 50%. That's 1,000, 30%, 600, and 20%, 400 entry fee for each boat is approximately $150. Right. So, the Jackie Savoie Big Bass Classic, the initial Jackie Savoie Big Bass Classic, will take place on the 17th out there at Marshfield Landing. So. Yeah.
It's a good deal, you know. It adds on, and like you said, they'll count you 2-man team, or if you fish by yourself, you come and weigh in every hour on the hour, and if you weigh in, your biggest 5 fish, well, you win the side pot too.
Oh, that's right. Yep. And it's just a great tournament.
I should say half of it anyway.
Yep. Well, but like you said, Ricky, it's a great tournament. Oh, yeah. A lot of boats, anywhere from 50 to 100 boats, and.
Yeah.
You also, the proceeds of the tournament
go
to Lydia Cancer Society.
A lot of it does.
And
it's
other opportunities here. I think they even gave some over the years to the USL fishing team. So there are numerous giveouts to that from this tournament.
A good fundraiser.
And if you like to fish and like a little competition, it'd be a good time to get out there show some support for these people. And they work hard, man. Those guys out there, and there's all kind of silent auctions. I don't know if they're going to have that this year due to the COVID, but I know they're going to have a lot of things available out there. So and all. So it's a great tournament, great time.
Oh, yeah.
And also meet great people, fishermen out there on the lake. And ladies and men, everybody's invited. So good time by all, Rick.
Keith used to cook, Keith Lillard. And I don't know if Keith's going to cook this year because I hadn't talked to I seen Randall the other night, and I didn't get to talk to him to see who was but somebody always cooks, and it's a good – I mean, one year y'all went out there with us, Tony. We had gumbo.
That's right.
So But I know somebody will be cooking.
Yeah, and there's usually a good group of fishermen out there. So, got a chance to win $250 on the hour if you have the big bass at that particular hour. Yeah. So if you can get a 3 or 4 pounder, there's a good chance you can win $250, pay for your entry fee and some of your gas expenses.
That's
so it's just a good time, good tournament out there at Marshfield Landing off of the Lorville Road. So
Black Line Lane.
That's right, Black Line Lane. Yes, correct. Now stand corrected. Anyway, we're going to have to take our first break. You're listening to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show here on FM 107.5 and AM 1240. We'll be right back with more of the Fishing and Hunting Show right after this.
Locally owned and operated, Alamo Hydraulics serves the oil business on the national scene. Specializing in welding, grinding, and hard chrome plating, Alamo also does fabrication work on cylinders, valves, pumps, and motors of all brands. Located at 2712 West Admiral Doyle Drive, you can call Chris Williamson at 303-3799. That's Alamo Hydraulics, a proud sponsor of the Kane Fishing and Hunting Show.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
A new Carrier heating and air conditioning system from Dahl's Heating and Cooling can save you money every month. Thanks to the newest line of Carrier energy-efficient technology products, you can lower your utility bill. Don't forget to ask about the cool cash savings through your local Carrier dealer. Turn to the Carrier experts at Dahl's Heating and Cooling. Call Dan, you're my AC man, today at 337-367-2511. That's 337-367-2511, license number 6286.
Don't you love living in New Iberia? Elmer and Liz Watkins do. They own Watkins Floor Covering and have been doing business in the Queen City for nearly half a century. If you're in the business for new floors, visit the Watkins, and they will certainly give you the red carpet service treatment. Whether carpet or hard flooring, Shaw Floors is one of their best sellers. Watkins Floor Covering, located at 1319 East Main Street, and I can guarantee when you go visit with Elmer and Liz, they'll be listening to Kane Radio blaring in their store. That's Watkins Floor Covering, right here in New Iberia.
The hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s on Kane 107.5.
Welcome back to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. I'm Tony Landry, along with Ricky Watkins. And, Rick, you know, off the air, we were just talking about the biologist released a 500,000 Florida bass fry in Force Point this past week. And Lake Dotrieve's bass, and or I should say Lake Dotrieve and Lake Force Point's bass population was supposed to grow by 500,000 sometime this week. Well, guess what? That 500,000 just didn't happen. It did. Instead, the lake system's bass population increased by more than 734,000. And also yesterday, they dumped right at 1,000,000. So with the Florida bass fry from the state fish hatchery, Booker Fowler Fish Hatchery in Woodworth, arrived via the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries pickup truck just before 11 a.m. Monday. They were double bagged in clear plastic bags, three each in six large ice chests, and in the bed of the plastic pickup truck. It was chauffeured by Ed Sylvester LeCompte. Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries said there were 25,000 Florida bass per bag. So they hatched probably 8 or 9 days ago, he said. The Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries loaded 20 bags. There were two extra larger bags in the long and wide aluminum boat. The hatchery biologist said those fry will continue to eat plankton for a while but start chasing other food in the system in the lake much earlier than the hatchery environment, noting that 45 to 50 days the survivors will be 2 inches long fingerlings. The department said they plan to release the majority of the 1,000,000 Florida bass fry yesterday in Sandy Cove.
So, I don't know where that's at yesterday.
Oh, yes. And Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries last stocked the Florida bass in the lake system was 1,000,008. That's 1,800,000 in March of 2019. The last stocking of Florida bass fingerlings, which are much bigger, was in 2014. And Rick.
In Sandy Cove, Tony, there's a lot of cover for them to hide. You've got a lot of bulrush, which is reeds, a lot of grass, a lot of duck blinds. So, it's a good area for them.
Yeah, and, you know, with that, some of those fish, I know, we still go back to Hurricane Andrew, who did the majority of the damage in the lakes. back in 92, in August of 92.
Yes,
and
sir. The lake was devastating.
Oh, it took years. I mean, years for fish.
Yeah,
but
it's
starting to come around. You're starting to catch some nice bass. Have you ever heard of a 10-pounder being caught out there, Rick, in Lake Dotrieva, Lake Force Point?
I've caught a 9.7. That's the biggest.
That you're aware of?
Yeah.
Anyway, you hadn't seen those 10-pounders yet.
Well, I'm sure they're out there, Tony.
But I haven't heard of anybody catching one, too, in that regard. Of course, up in Toledo Bend, you catch a 10-pounder. They'll go ahead and give you a sample of it.
Yeah, double digit. You're right.
You're right.
And a replica. Yes, sir.
And in the meantime, we're starting to see 4, 5, 6, 7-pounders in the lake some, you know, but not those 10-pounders that we've seen up in Toledo Bend and all.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully some of those, how's my math, a little over 2.3 million bass fry, Florida bass fry, we'll see growing to those 4 and 5 pounders, you know.
That's right.
That'd be nice if, and I think the ratio is something like 5%. So,
Tony, I forgot, you had said it the other day, it was a percentage of natives, a percentage that was true Florida strain.
That's right.
I want to say it was like 17%, which is good. So if all of these are pure Florida strain, which I think they are, that should, you know, it's a good fish to put in there because not only do they grow quick, but they're, you know, they grow fast and they're real territorial, and it's should do good for the lake. You know?
Well, hopefully a little over 2.3 million fish they dump. So I shouldn't say fish, but basically the fry, and hopefully that we can see some. Fruition would come through that with the fish growing.
It's going to really pay off, Tony. And well, when you're really going to get to see, it's going to be like 2 or 3 years from now because, you know, not all of them grow, but they say a Florida will grow a pound a year. And that's good. Oh, yeah, no, they grow quick. So
I know there were other people interested in throwing some nice size, pounder, pounder and a half and all in there.
We pushed hard for that, Tony. And, you know, and I kind of understand, but yet, you know, you want a good system, but. They didn't want us to do it because some kind of way when they do their numbers, it would mess up. So, anyway.
Well, the biologists, you know.
They got their own way of doing things.
But sometimes the local fishermen even know better than the biologists. Yeah. And that's something that's been a big problem, as we say, out in the Gulf, you know, with the red snapper, man.
Right.
The local fishermen realize what's going on. And I've seen some reports that you guys can't believe how many red snapper are out there now. When they were decimated back in the, 15, 20 years ago.
That's right.
Now you go almost to walk on water out there. Right. There's so many.
You know, but, we understood, Tony, and hopefully this will give the lake a good shot in the arm, so to speak. And it's only got to make fishing better. So, like I said, 3 to 4 years down the road, that's when your 3 and 4 pound fish will start showing up. And that'll be the tail sign.
Anyway, we do talk about hunting. There is hunting in this show. And a guy out of Paulina, that's out there on the other side of the Mississippi River near Lutcher, is paying for a baited field of doves. Earlier this month, the alleged was sentenced by Judge Karen Roby to pay a $1,500 fine, meted out 2-year suspension for hunting privileges, 2-year probation on setting foot on any additional wildlife refuge, and placed him on 2 years probation. The conviction comes after a 2019 case made by the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Enforcement Division agents who were patrolling near Convent. On the opening day of dove season 2019, agents found the field baited and learned the field was baited by the alleged prior to the dove hunt. The alleged admitted to place bait on the purpose of attracting doves, and $1,500 fine, came fish hunt.
Man.
You know, when are these people going to learn?
Yeah.
I mean, the agents out there, anyway, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to end our show basically on just a nice story here. And I thought this, I saw this, and I said, man, this is nice to end it.
Okay.
The brown pelican that was transported to Georgia after the 2010 Deepwater Horizon disaster finds its way home.
All right.
If you can believe that, the distance is about 700 miles as a crow flies, but the brown pelican transported from Louisiana to Georgia in 2010 was bound and determined to cover that ground and return to the Bayou State, and back home it is. This brown pelican was covered in all during the Deepwater Horizon spill in 2010, rescued, cleaned, and then flown and released in Georgia.
Right.
He was spotted in March on a rock jetty in Queen's Bess Island near Barataria Bay by a wildlife and fisheries agent. And you can say, how did he spot him? Well, the pelican was tagged Red 33Z.
Yeah.
He was captured June 14, 2010 at the Empire Jetties in Tarea Bay in the wake of the giant oil spill. It was taken to a triage facility and then rehabilitation facility in Louisiana. After that, was taken by a plane by the U.S. Coast Guard to Brunswick, Georgia, and released on July 1st, 2010. It's truly impressive. He made his way back from Georgia, then spotted, photographed the Pelican last month. The 33Z tag remains on the Pelican's right leg and can clearly be seen in a photograph taken. It isn't known exactly when the bird came back to Louisiana, but brown pelicans, like most seabirds, are thought to be hardwired genetically and return to their birth colony to breed. Despite moving long distances in non-breeding season, the pelican was one of 582 successfully rehabbed during the aftermath of the oil spill. 600 almost pelicans. Yep. Anyway, the pelicans were most all recovered. Data suggests that the spill resulted in between 51,000 and 84,000 birds that were killed. The actual number was likely on the high end of the scale. The 11 birds were unable to be released, were taken to zoos. Queen Bass Island, which is heavily impacted by the oil spill, is a key colonial water bird nesting colony that accounts for 15 to 20% of the young brown pelicans hatched in Louisiana in a given year. So, and I was looking up, I was trying to, brown pelicans, the oldest one in captivity, lived to be 31 years of age. Man. Most brown pelicans live to be 15 to 25 years of age.
Yeah.
The oil spill happened 11 years ago, approximately, this month, at the end of this month.
Yeah, if you want to come home and get him some bubble gump shrimp, I told
him. But you know, Rick, I mean, that's really an amazing story this brown pelican will fly from those distances.
Yeah, 700
miles. That's right. That's crow. By the way, the crow flies. Yeah. You know, he's not going to take a straight shot.
And that's a big bird, Tony.
It is a big bird, and it's a beautiful bird to see feed. And right. And at one time, they had a few of them in the Bayou Teche around the park and all floating around. So I hadn't seen them lately.
Oh, yeah, it's a big
It's a big old bird, you're right, and it's a beautiful bird
that's
to
good.
See, too.
Good story.
And I just thought 700 miles to come back home to Louisiana and roost up there with his other compadres, great to see. So, in the meantime, today, Friday, the 9th of April, the sun rose at 6:46. It's going to set at 7:32 tonight. In the high and low tide chart, we can see that the first high tide was 2:30 this morning. The next high tide will be at 3:54. The first low tide will be at 9:31, a little over about 2 hours from now. And the low tide at 9:44. Tomorrow, Saturday, the 10th, sun will rise at 6:45, set at 7:32, high and low tide chart. First high tide will be at 3:33 in the morning. That's Friday night, Saturday morning. Next high tide at 4:02. First low tide will be at 10:09. That's Saturday morning. And the next low tide at 10:03 p.m. that night. Sunday, the 11th, the sun will rise in Southwest Pass, 6:44, set at 7:33, high and low tide chart. First high tide will be at 4:30 in the morning, Sunday morning, Saturday night. Next high tide, 4:10 p.m., Sunday afternoon. The first low tide will be at 10:43. Next low tide at 10:24. And the average water temperature in Southwest Pass for Million Bay right at still a little chilly, 69 degrees, Rick.
Yes, sir.
So that all comes into play in that regard. So we'll see how things shape up. And what's on the agenda here for?
Well, it depends on the weather, Tony. I'm going to try to cut a little grass this afternoon, hopefully. We're supposed to have some bad weather tomorrow. And I may try to make a little trip there Sunday.
Anyway, Rick, of course, as always, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for these fine people.
You're right, Tony. Thanks to Alamo Hydraulics, Watkins Floor Covering, Doors Heating and Cooling, Coca-Cola, Quarter Tavern, and our new sponsor, Clico.
And our motto, as always,
kids that hunt and fish, don't steal and deal.
Hey, remember, Kane Radio has a mass live here every Sunday on Kane Radio FM 107.5 and AM 1240 from 7:30 until the end of the service. And stay tuned to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes right after Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. And with that, we'll be here next week to give you the updates. Have a safe weekend and stay dry. We look for a little rain tonight. We'll be right back with Bayou Sports right after this.